5:33-ish, and we are the Frank Wilson Memorial EMS building. So we have on our first item as agenda approval, and I suppose I need to ask if there are any amendments to the agenda, but we do have one because we know we have to have Commissioner Gail Lachine-Seitz swear in per our bylaws, even though she already has. It looks like the rules...
I'll do it as many times as I have.
Yeah, okay. The rules say that you have to swear in at the last regular meeting before taking office or 10 days prior to taking office, so we need to do that. So, so I move to amend the agenda for that. Does anyone else have anything to add? No? Fine as it is.
Yes,
can I get a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Gail, should we just do this?
Sure.
Okay. You have your coffee. You feel very far
raise
away.
A hand.
You have to raise your hand.
Heartbreak.
I know. All right. Do you...
Should I just read it? Oh.
You
read it to me and I read it to you.
You can just read it. Why don't you go ahead.
I, Gail Lachine-Seitz, do solemnly swear that I am a citizen of the United States and the State of Washington, that I will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and the Charter, laws, and ordinances of San Juan County. I further swear to perform faithfully and impartially and to the best of my ability and understanding the statutory duties of San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1, Commissioner Number 1, Position 1, in and for the County of San Juan, State of Washington.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And you have to sign that probably here. I'm going to sign that.
Okay, our next item is consent agenda.
Move to accept the consent agenda.
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
And next we move to Chief Fitzing with, or no, I'm sorry, to Pam with her operations report. Jumping in.
Okay. Thank you. First, I want to draw your attention to when you come into the building, there's usually the reports at the back before you come in for our operations report and Chief Kutzing's EMS operations report. So for anybody that wants to pick it up, it's back there if you want to follow along and read. And also, it's also posted on our website. So you can see both of the operations reports before you come to the meeting, if that's your choice. So for November, we had a usual month of revenues were $71,241.94, and most of those were all property tax revenues, a little bit, $27.71 were timber tax. And disbursements were $24,805.88, and all of those were warrants that were processed in November. Change that on the site. In November, we had no public records requests, and that brings the total for the year to 19, which total $11,013.50 spent on public records request. And for the first time, I sent you out your reports from the county. They were the revenue reports, the expenditure reports, the cash fund balance, the outstanding warrants, Were all of those readable for you? Did you have any questions? Would you? Those are the monthly reports we receive from the county after every month in closing. So that's the reports we usually send out to the commissioner, and it's also the reports that the financial advisor goes over with each of us and Heather at our financial advisors meeting. So if you have any questions about those, just let me or Chief Kutzing know. for our, does anyone have any questions on the financials before I move down to the operations?
I did have a couple of minor ones. I noticed that there was a line for legal and accounting that was separate from legal expense. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between those?
Before, it was legal and accounting was on one line, one bars number, and we found that through the course of the year, we would have just legal expense, and then there would be accounting expense from the accounting service. So we wanted to separate those out so that just for a look, you could tell what the legal expense was for the year and not have them together. So that those changes were made this past couple of months. And also, there's a separate line item for audit expense, because that also got rolled up into the accounting expense, and we wanted to be able to figure out what just our audit expense was by looking at it and not having to go in and figure it out separately. So that's the difference.
So there's no legal in the legal and accounting. It's just that's basically accounting.
Right. That's why in parentheses it has just accounting. Yeah, it was legal and accounting, and now it's just accounting, and then legal has its own line, and audit services has its own line. And that will carry forward into the new year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I had was that I noticed that the business office line and the administrative line were off by quite a bit.
Yes, that I was going to call your attention to that. We repay EMS for our wages, mine and Nathan's, and they give us the payroll report from the calculations after the county gives it back to them. So we pay all of the expense, the wages and the benefit costs. So when they reimburse it, they put it all in the wage line, so it makes it look inflated, like we are getting paid more than what our line item is. But if you take the business office, the administrator, and then go down to the benefits and the L&I cost, if you add those all together, then it comes out to, that's why I put a little note on the side of that. It's really only 80, I think it was 81% or 61% in there. But we're working with the county to be able to separate that out for next year, so it will be all in the right lines.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anything else before I go to operations? Nope. Okay. For the month, we're still getting a few calls about the Premier LifeWise insurance, and those websites are still good for people trying to move from Kaiser Permanente into Premier LifeWise. There's been a lot of different places around San Juan Island that they've been doing private one-on-one meetings with people to try to figure out, you know, which one is better for that. So that's an ongoing thing. And the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation did have a meeting on December 9th, but most all of this was on foundation business. There wasn't anything on the planning grant, but in February there's supposed to be an update on the planning grant, so I will inform the two representatives when it's time to have that meeting there. I think there will be some things on that agenda for the planning grant. And then, of course, everyone knows that Commissioners Lehman, Loring, and Clary were sworn in, and this is their second meeting tonight, so that's moving along. And the Washington State Auditors have been here now for 6 days. They left today, and the audit is going really well. They gave me a brief accounting of it today before they left. They will be coming back after January 18th to finish up and have the exit conference, so the commissioners will get a notice about that when they're ready to do that. But that was good news. And Nathan and I this month have been very busy with education for the commissioners. We've had each one of the commissioners in our office, and We gave them their laptops and showed them how those work and introduced them to Northwest Technology in case they have any problems. That if we're not around, they can just call directly. We presented them with a binder about that thick, and it has all of the really important district documents in there, the bylaws, the code of ethics, legal manuals, and things like that. So it's a good brief, but has everything all in one place if they need to look at that. We've also had a series of email lessons going twice a week. The commissioners have been getting lessons. I know they're excited every time one comes across their computer on all kinds of things, such as the Open Public Meetings Act, the Public Records Act, working with MRSC, which is Municipal Research Services Center. It's a very good resource for hospital districts and public entities. Robert's Rules of Order, just all kinds of different topics that we tried to give them a couple of different looks at things and not try to give them everything all at once so that they kind of could digest before they got the next one for that. So we'll be doing a lot more education in January when Commissioner Seitz is on the board, and so that will be a continuing thing, will be a lot of education. So we have that to look forward to. And that's all I have. I just want to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season, and hopefully after this meeting you can spend time with your families and come back in January and we'll be all ready to work. That's all.
Are there any further questions for Pam? No. All right, thank you. Now it's Carlson.
Certainly. Good evening, commissioners, and thank you. I sent out my operations report to you. Hopefully you all got it, had a chance to take a look at it. So I feel like this time I'll just try to hit the highlights. Just to kind of give you some of our stats, we're 80 runs for November, which brings our total for the year up to 1,092, which is about a 7% increase from last year. And we've been holding that kind of 7% for the last 2 months. So that's kind of what I'm expecting. I think we're kind of at that point right now. Our response times overall for this month was 9 minutes and 37 seconds, with 91% of our calls under 20 minutes, which is that rural benchmark. And then you can see how it broke down in town versus we kind of look at those different zones, town zone, mid-island, north side, south side, and then the outer islands. And basically, I'm trying to report to you in this operations report, those in town, I'm trying to use the urban benchmark as our goal rather than suburban, which is technically given the population level what the town of Prescott has, but realistically, we should be able to hit that urban benchmark within the town limits. And then breaking it down to some scene times and also as well in town, how long we're spending actually on the scene. Our average there was about 21 minutes where we're dealing with the patient. And for the Mid-Island, that increases a little bit, 37. Again, that often depends on the nature of the call. It's just kind of hard to say. Certain calls are more complicated than others. Critical calls tend to move much faster because we know we've got to go quickly. So again, these times are not adjusted whether or not we have simultaneous calls going on, whether we have extended wait times. For example, we'll get toned out for Airlift Northwest and they'll tell us, well, we've got 20 minute ETA. So we'll be on the radio with dispatch, let them know that we are standing by in station until an appropriate time to actually get down to the helipad. But that gets factored into our response times regardless. And with more digging, I could, if you are interested in me refining those stats, I'm more than happy to take that on and give you some more specific information. And I should preface that as well with this new board coming on. This format was kind of inherited. And so I've been following that. If you see things that you would like to see different in the reports, other things that you'd like to emphasize, or parts of the report that you feel aren't you don't need that anymore, please let me know. I'm happy to revise and give you the information that you want and that you need moving forward. So my door is always open. You know where to find me. Please come see me if you have concerns, questions, anything like that. And I'm sorry I deviated from that report, but I wanted to make sure that you understood that. As far as the finances go, we're 92% into the year. And as revenue goes, our total revenue for this year is $2.9 million. Which is 92% of the amended budget projection, so we're right on target there. Our expenses are a little under. We're at $2,126,000 and change for our expenditures, which is at 84%, so we're under budget there, which is good news. The GAMT has yielded almost $700,000, which again does include back payments for 2017, 2018, and then 2019 moving forward. So of our amended budget projections, we're right on target with that as well. So we have about 8.5 months of average expenses in our cash and reserves, which is really good news, good solid financial footing right now. Do you have any questions about the finances?
Just a quick one. You mentioned
sure.
8.5 months. Is that a standard number, or what would be a standard?
We kind of look at what our expenses come by. We have a spreadsheet that we're working on, and we see, all right, generally it's about $200,000 a month in expenses between payroll, supplies, ordering, all that, and that's kind of what we use as our projection. We kind of refine it a little bit based on what we're actually spending and how far into the year we are. So that projection kind of shows that given the course of how we've been moving forward, yeah, we could survive for 8.5 months of expenditures and still be all right. What that allows us is kind of these windfalls that that we really were very fortunate to find with the GEMT program as well as the North Sound ACH. It's allowed us to take those tight years, those lean years where we weren't putting aside things for capital improvement replacement and catch up and get those funds put into that reserve so that we can then, you know, we're back on track for making those capital expenditures. So I feel very confident and good about moving forward. I think we're in a good financial footing right now. We've made up for some of the past, and we're right on target again.
Yeah, it's nice to see that the reserves, like each, you know, rating it by monthly expenses, I've seen that grow over the last 2 years.
It's right. Really, and that's going to allow us when it's time to replace that ambulance, when it's time to replace that Sprint car, that we're not going to be scrambling and trying to, you know, find extra funding to make those purchases happen, that we can do that and continue to plan for that in the future. Okay, moving on to operations. As far as our community, we had 5 more CPR and first aid classes during the month, and that brings us to about 461 people who have been part of our program, learning first aid, CPR, AED use, wilderness classes. That encompasses all of those. So we've got quite a few folks in the community who do this, and they do it pretty regularly. As Pam mentioned, the auditors have been here two separate occasions. They usually come Monday, and they leave Wednesday early afternoon, and so we've seen them twice. We've been able to answer their questions. We've been able to provide the information that they've been looking for. And as Pam mentioned, we feel like there's maybe one or two more days with one of the auditors to kind of finish up the accountability things. They call it their testing period, where they'll say, for example, here's something that you have inventory sheet. Show me where it is, kind of thing. So it's proving up the procedures and policies that we have in place. So as Pam mentioned, things seem to be going really, really well. I wanted to update you also on medical protocols. Dr. Corsa is on it. He has been working with our paramedics throughout the county to get those ALS protocols up to speed, and I think we're pretty close to a final edit and be ready to get those approved by the state. So moving forward, and that's also good news. As far as our 2019 EMT class, One left. We got to get one more to take the National Registry. It's scheduled, but of the 10 students, the 9 who have taken it have all passed on the first go round, which is kind of a credit to the program that our paramedic Weishan Kuhn runs as our senior EMS instructor, and moving forward with that. So they're there, they're responding. We're looking good with those guys. The Shaw class is still on target. They have this goal of finishing that class in mid-January. They may have to adjust that a little bit. It's been a fast and furious pace for those guys. 3 of San Juan Island residents who are currently firefighters are taking that class to get cross-trained as EMTs, and they seem to be right on track. They've been working with our staff and our volunteers, doing right along time, practicing their skills, and getting up to speed so that they'll be ready to hit the ground running once they pass that EMT class. So that'll swell our ranks just a little bit more, which is very good. To let you know, with training, we did our HIPAA training, and I think you guys all went through the same training that we did. Our volunteers and our staff does that every year as a refresher. We open that up to the fire department as well. Those that are cross-trained obviously get it through EMS, but the firefighters who are not currently EMTs, now that Fire District 3 has their BLS license, that's important for just plain firefighters to know the HIPAA things as well. So they attended some of that training. There's a few that we still need to get, but we're on track to get that training to them before the fire department starts rolling out in our coordinated effort to get our to respond to those calls for our community. So we're on track with that, and that's very encouraging as well. The other thing to let you know is with the integration steering committee, there was one meeting in November. There were no action items. We were basically getting everybody up to speed and reaffirming where we stood in the process. It looks like we're working to help Duncan Wilson in the town of Friday Harbor get their amendments and their levy or their proposals out in ballot measures out to that public, and we're working with them to try to be supportive of that. We're answering the question of the Outer Islands. The Outer Islands that we're talking about are those that are already encompassed in the hospital district, but not encompassed with the fire protection district. But those petitions have gone out. We started to look at those signatures that we've collected, and we feel we're really close to 60% of the voters saying they want in, and 60% of the property owners by land area are also saying that they want in. And if we hit that magic 60% number, it basically bypasses an election and goes right to the fire commissioners to say yes or no as far as those people joining in. But they seem very excited, and I think we're right on track for that, which is really great. Licenses are taken care of, so we're moving forward and working toward that full integration. And we're a little behind schedule in that we were hoping to be at a point where we can start some town hall and some informational kinds of questions and answers. The kind of with the shift in the composition of the board and trying to get it up to speed with the interlocal agreements kind of put us a little behind, but hopefully we can catch up and get everybody provide the information that people need to make good informed decisions moving forward. There was one other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention. The ongoing civil investigative demand is probably something that you guys could use a little bit of a background history update as far as where we stand. So my plan moving forward is to get you a special report and try to put together a little synopsis of where we are and where we're going and what we expect to find out. Get that to you before the next hospital board meeting so you have a chance to take a look at that and then ask any questions that you may have. So that kind of look forward to that coming your way. That kind of concludes my report, unless you have any questions about what I presented, either tonight or via email.
Well, I had a couple things.
Sure.
You and I had talked about a few ideas for January.
Mm-hmm.
One being that we could do, at our regular meeting at the end of January, do a review of our financials for the year, not mm-hmm. just the month of December, but to look at the way you know, our proposed budget reflected what actually happened. And I think that would be a great tool for all of us to get really familiar with expenses and the way we operate. So if that's okay with you, we'll plan on that for
the regular January meeting?
In January. I know that's kind of a lot of work for coming at you. The other thing you and I had talked about was a review of 2019 from Lainey and Weishan, perhaps, from their perspective, and at least in the areas they have oversight over. So.
Right, and I have reached out to both Weishan and Lainey, asking if they would be able to do some reports, mm-hmm. and I've heard back from Director Volk, who has said that that's no problem for the January 2nd meeting. Hopefully we can get the same one for you for January 2nd, that special meeting, mm-hmm. and then the final year-end report with the finances and the overview. We'll plan on the January regular meeting.
Right.
It gives me just a little more time to deal with those numbers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and perhaps the CID, we could do a special report from you on that. I don't know if you would be ready to do that at the beginning of January.
You know, I'll give it my best shot, so you can have it at that special meeting, and mm-hmm. if there's time and it's appropriate, then we can delve into that. I can answer questions that you might have. Mm-hmm. And the possibility of working with the attorney who's representing the public hospital district and EMS, even seeing if he's available and if there are questions of that. Mm-hmm. If we can get it done at the special meeting, kind of our overview, mm-hmm. if we know that we want to ask him specific questions, then maybe we can get that in an executive session for the regular meeting in January.
That's also something we could funnel through Kyle and you. And you guys could approach him too.
Absolutely.
If you wanted to handle that separately.
Sure.
Okay. Great. I'm just thinking of things that, you know, to familiarize all of us with the way this agency works. So thank
Perfect.
You. Is there anything else for Chief Kutzing?
I've got one thing. I'm not sure. Sorry if this is the right time. And it's definitely a bit presumptuous since I've sat up here now almost one and a half times. And that is that these operations and financial reports are excellent. You two provide a lot of material up front in advance in writing. And I'm wondering if it would make sense to provide more of a highlight reporting out at this meeting. You know, highlights things, you know, a couple, two or three things that you think are really important that you want to make sure you definitely read in those reports. Anomalies. And obviously we're new to this too, so maybe things that are unusual that we wouldn't understand, I think at that time would be excellent things to point out. But I'm wondering if we might be able to streamline that just a little bit. Again, that may just be my thinking, but I'm pretty comfortable that we all read up here too. And you two put a lot of effort into the written word, and so as long as we've read it coming in, we might be able to streamline it a little bit.
For sure.
Obviously, members of the public may not have quite the same view, but I can tell you when I was sitting in that role, I actually felt the same way as I did.
Okay.
Okay.
I think as we maybe get more familiar, we might be faster. And, you know, certainly we read the reports ahead of time. So.
Perfect.
Okay. Don't think that captures what I'm raising.
I know.
But,
yeah. I mean, we do
are
read
you
them,
suggesting
so
now
like,
not the
I'm
good
just
time
saying,
to talk about this?
No, I think that. If we're all reading, you know, certainly we can ask questions about things we're concerned about. And I think streamlining the process is a great idea.
Yes. I have a question. I don't know, again,
sure.
if this is an appropriate time, but I did have a question. Just out of curiosity, you had said that we have a 7% increase in EMS calls.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of been the trend. And I'm just curious why. Why you think, you know, if there's any...
As far as I can tell, it's population-based, the growth, you know, in our population. And actually, what's interesting is that we feel that given our community paramedicine program, we're actually saving some 911 calls. So without that community paramedicine program, we probably would have had an even greater increase. People relying on the 911 system for situations that can otherwise be handled by a more routine visit. Because without those routine visits, they go into a crisis mode, and then they call 911. Why we're getting that increase, I can only speculate. But I think it's probably population, as well as oftentimes people are moving away from primary care physicians and relying on ERs, and that's kind of a national trend. Given the challenges we face with the entire healthcare system. You're welcome.
Do you think there's a correlation between an increase in the number of calls and budgetary requirements? I haven't noticed that we're 7% over budget, even though we didn't necessarily plan on that much more. So does it cost more to respond more?
Yes, but I think a lot of those costs are just normal overhead. We've got to keep the doors open. We've got to pay a power bill. We've got to do those kinds of things. And the number of calls tends to be a smaller portion of the budget. And again, because we charge fee for service, we do have some way to recoup that. We bill our patients' insurance companies, whether they're Medicare, Medicaid, or if it's a private insurer. So there's a way of recovering that. So obviously, the more calls we have, the more collection we have in that regard. But we're still able to take anything that an insurance company doesn't pay and not have to charge our island residents because the taxes are so far taking care of that.
Thank
you. I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Got it, everybody? Okay, our next is audience participation. If you have something to say, please raise your hand and identify yourself. Anyone?
Oh. I have a confession. Uh-oh. I broke the rules of board commissioner several months ago by not going through the chain of command. I apologize. I talked to Laney Volk about Bert Gossam.
Where's Bert?
He's here someplace.
Mm-hmm. So for the record, this is
a picture of Bert 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we talked about a letter of appreciation coming from EMS, and I didn't include the previous board because I sort of started writing it and I gave it to Laney, and she's been working more than 20% overtime getting a bunch of stuff done. So it never got done, but I would appreciate if the board would consider a public letter of appreciation of Bert Gossam in his retirement, which is coming up on January the 15th, and the recognition of Dr. William House, who will be taking over the practice, the only non-corporate practice on the island of allopathic medicine. And this is Bert when he was the MPD for EMS. So it fits within your budget to do it and your budget to find a plaque for Bert. And that's my recommendation, but I'm no longer a commissioner. I can only speak publicly about it. And I'll be talking more in January about other subjects. That's another story. And Merry Christmas to the board.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Any comments on that?
I think it's a great idea.
That should come under new business. Okay. That's what I think.
Anyone else from the public? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Leslie. Hi. Bang out here real quick. But I did want to say thank you very much for Mark's years of sitting on the board, although I've not always agreed with you, it's been very nice that you've sat on the board.
Thank you.
Move on to,
can I make a brief proposal about the audience participation
sure.
component?
Uh-huh.
One of my other recommendations is that I'd love to see that happen at the very beginning of the meeting so mm-hmm. that people who do need to cut out can come in, make their statement, and then leave. Mm-hmm. And I'd also love to see us open it up again at the end of the meeting so the people who have stuck with us through that entire meeting, or at least through the portion they're really concerned about, have the chance to speak to that after they've heard us deliberate, discuss, whatever, as well. So that's a proposal.
That would be great.
In fact, I make a motion that we do that. Don't think it's prohibited by our bylaws.
I think that's it. We have to check with Nathan about changing the meeting format, right?
The bylaws prescribe and direct the order of the meetings. And you can change the order of the meetings, but it's like changing the date and time of a meeting. You have to do it each time. If you want to change it globally from now on, you have to revise the bylaws. So, I mean, if you want.
So you believe the bylaws structure the exact order in which we conduct our meetings?
They do, for regular board meetings.
He has.
And if you want to make a motion, you have to have it on the agenda.
Yeah, you have to make a motion and revise the agenda.
This is a general meeting. It's a scheduled meeting.
It's a scheduled meeting, yeah. I can get you the line of reference, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
You can still do it. You just have to.
You know, we've talked about this before, and I think you're right, Kyle. I think that it's for people who have something to say, it's, you know, it's important for them to say it and be able to go home. And then for people who really have something that they want to wait because it's halfway down or two-thirds of the way down through the agenda and they need to wait, then they want to hear what's being discussed, they need to have an opportunity to voice what the outcome of that is, and so a comment. And I also think maybe we should think about the three-minute limit. I understand there's a, in the interest of not having things go forever, that you want to have some kind of a limit, but sometimes 3 minutes is awfully brief and people do have things to say that last more than 3 minutes. So I don't know what we can do about that. People more clever than I have an idea about that, but that might be something else.
You can absolutely do that. And typically when you guys decide to extend audience participation, which has been done many times, it's just, again, it's on kind of a case-by-case basis. You decide, today we'd like to extend audience participation, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it is also in the bylaws, so if you want to do it indefinitely from now on, you got to change the bylaws. And you could remove that entire section from the bylaws if you wish, and so you're not bound by that, but it is a useful guide to say this is how our meetings usually go, and the public knows to expect that. That it's going to be a certain way each time.
Thanks for highlighting that. It actually is in here. Yeah. In the bylaws, structure your entire meeting agenda. And that's something to take a look at. Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take a look at this and maybe provide or propose a couple of other bylaw amendments around this issue. I also think the language about how we interact with the public is a little bit limited in what we expect of them. When I read through that, I did read that portion of the bylaws. I didn't read the agenda portion, I guess.
Can I presumptuously recommend that you guys change it on a case-by-case basis for a month or two, and then, you know, once you're past this initial period, you guys can go ahead and revise all the bylaws the way you want them. But it's worth trying it out first to see, get it the way you like it before you go in and revise them top to bottom, because if you don't like it, then you have to do it all over again. It's a whole resolution. That's my recommendation, but of course you can do whatever you like.
I like trial balloons.
Yes.
I think it's an excellent point about bringing bylaw changes together at one time, and it is a serious endeavor. Maybe the thing to do would be to canvass members of the public to see if they would like to have the opportunity to speak at the beginning and at the end. I heard a few murmurs when I raised it, so I took that to be some level of assent, but maybe I'm the only community member who wants to not sit through a lot before saying my piece. So we could do a brief survey even right now.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, can't we do a straw poll with everybody here that's here?
Certainly.
You like the idea of a beginning and an ending?
No, I disagree. If you want to get up and speak, you should sit here and suffer first. I think Kyle's idea is, I've thought for a long time that would be a great idea to allow comment at the beginning and comment at the end. But I do want to disagree with Commissioner Clary about the three-minute limit. 3 minutes is a long time if you time it. If you can't say what you want to say in 3 minutes, then you ought to sit down and outline it again and figure out how to say it in 3 minutes.
My husband would agree with you.
Think about it first.
Okay, so you're going to go ahead and take a look at that and report back to us about this meeting.
Yeah. I loved it as an agenda item of how to organize meetings.
Yeah, right. Yeah. For our next meeting.
So. Anybody, is it okay to just ask anybody else in the audience if you like that idea of beginning and end?
Yes.
Everybody?
Yes.
All in favor, raise your hand. Anybody shooting it down? Anybody think it's a bad idea?
This same argument was had in the county council many times.
And they do at the beginning, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right, is that it for now? Moving on to our next thing. So unfinished business. The first on the agenda is the discussion of integration of EMS and fire. And Kyle, you asked for this to be on the agenda, so I'm going to let you start this discussion, if that's okay with you.
Sure. I kind of assume it should be a standing agenda item, and
oh,
that's
yeah,
the reason
certainly.
I asked to have it on the agenda. Mm-hmm. But I also, I did have a couple of thoughts that would be really useful. The first is that I know we've heard from Chief Kutzing, and I think Chief Collins, that work has been done to move this forward. And there may be a written summary somewhere, but I'd like to put out a request at this point anyway to get that if there isn't, to get it if it does exist, and to have one created if it doesn't. Outline what has happened to date by each of those agencies to bring them together. Because I know there was a lot of talk about that interlocal agreement. We've all read that. I'd love to know maybe if some of the tasks that were identified in that attachment to that have been completed, started, or undertaken. That would be very useful to have. And then I also would like to propose that we do find a disinterested third party to potentially help shepherd us through some of that process as well. Somebody who's not part of the public hospital district or the EMS or the fire district to help provide some kind of guidance and supervision going forward. But obviously that may not be warranted based on what we've seen, what has happened so far. But I think that would generally be a pretty good proposal. And I know that there were members of the public who spoke to that at least at the fire district meeting that I attended right after the previous board here signed that agreement. So those are my thoughts at the moment.
Anyone else?
I like the idea of having a written monthly summary from EMS and fire or together. I don't know how you guys would do that, but I guess you could decide. I don't need to micromanage that, but I think of a written monthly.
I would say that normally there would be steering committee meetings, and the board members that are on those meetings would be reporting back.
Okay.
And so we haven't had one. And do we have one scheduled for January?
I don't believe we have one scheduled for January yet, but we have discussed that, yeah, that meeting, we should have one scheduled. We have not actually set a date yet.
Okay.
And we talked about having both commissions meet together mm-hmm. in one meeting also mm-hmm. here sometime in January. I think we're talking about January.
I think it might be more like later. January's filling up pretty
yeah.
quickly, so.
Yeah.
And we probably have some work to do before we have a joint meeting. I'm sorry, does anyone else have any commentary on this topic?
Actually, can I just ask, is there a timeline or something that exists at this point that we know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is, if I may.
Please.
The summaries of what happens at each committee meeting is posted online. We have that on the website. Nathan's been managing that for us as being part of the community. So that summary is there. The timeline does exist. We kind of have a block coming through of where we'd like to see it. And basically, there's a very structured Gantt chart. Mm-hmm. If you're not familiar with a Gantt chart, it's kind of a you take a look at the goals that you're trying to do, and then you set the timeline, the benchmarks for those. Of course, the end being for us, the fact that in 2022 there has to be a new levy structure in place, whether that is a renewal of the current EMS levy, a new EMS levy run by the fire district, or a levy lid lift, that has not quite been decided, but we know that hard and fast timeline. Work back in terms of elections, work backwards, and you try to set those benchmarks. So the Gantt chart exists. The timeline there is there, the steps, the pieces that we feel need to be in place before full integration all happens. So those that outline does exist, and it's there, and the summary is there, but we can see if you're getting the kind of information you want from, it's basically kind of minutes of the meeting, but a little less structured and a little less formal than that. But if you feel like you need more, we may be able to address that within the committee reports, the standing committee reports that are part of the normal board meeting, or to give you something a little more solid in writing as far as this one.
Yeah, I think that's my impression. I mean, because I have attended the steering committee meetings, by being there, you're very much aware of where the process is. And so, you know, but here, you don't necessarily know. And so, I think going to the website is the best source to come up to speed. But a written summary or a graphic that is part of the package that we look at would be nice to have. It's just a quick snapshot as to where things are. It would help the public too, I think, so that they have sort of a quick view as to how things are progressing and where things are.